B'Siyata D'Shmaya, we're going to learn Tainis Davov. We're going to start four lines from the top of the Omud. Tanu Rabbanon, learnt in a Braisa, in a Sefri. Yoyre, we know that there's a concept of Yoyre and a concept of Malkush. And we say this in the Shema, V'nosati Matar Arzachem Be'itoy, Yoyre u'Malkush. The question is, what's the definition of Yoyre and what's the definition of Malkush? Etc. Says the Sefri, Yoyre, the word Yoyre, which means the first rain, which comes down typically in Cheshvan, as we saw in the previous Gemara. So Yoyre, Shem Moyre, es Habriyos, why is it called Yoyre? Yoyre is from the word Moyre, to teach. It instructs the people, Lahatir Gagusim, to that they should plaster their roofs, Ulahachnis es Perusim, and any fruits or any vegetation that they don't want to get wet in the fields, and they've been drying till now, they should take them into the homes. V'lasis kol tzarchem, and make sure anything else you need before the winter sets on, the first rain is an instruction to make sure to take care of those things. That's one explanation. A second explanation, Dava Achir, Shemarve es ha'oretz, that the word yoyrez comes from the term marve, which means to saturate. It saturates the land, umashke ada tohim, and it waters them down to the depths. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, the pasuk in Tehillim, telomeho, the its furrows ravei, they become saturated. Nachas gedudeo, and it brings pleasure to the bands of people who are on it, birvivim, and with showers, temoygegeno, the land becomes softened, tzimcho, tevorich, and its growths are blessed. So you see there that there's a concept of telomeo, rove, that the furrows become saturated, and it's this first rain that starts saturating the land, and that's why it's called Yoyre. Dovar Achir, a third explanation, Yoyre means sheyoyred benachas, that since the first rain comes down very gently, ve'ina yoyred bezaf, and doesn't come down violently. And the word Yoyre is like when you're teaching your students. In the same way as when you teach your students, the Pasuk says, Divrei Chachomim benachas nishmoim, it should be done gently. So too, the first rain comes down gently. In Rashi, that's one explanation in Rashi. Another explanation in Rashi is that Yoyre is like shooting an arrow, that when you shoot, the arrow goes straight and doesn't veer to the right or to the left. And so too here, the rain comes down very gently and is pointed at the land and is not coming down violently, going all over the place. So these are the three explanations that Yoyre is a positive term for the first rain. Maybe the word Yoyre means that it's a type of rain which is going to meshir, to cause to fall the fruits to fall off the trees. Umashtif es azroim, and to wash away the plants and the seeds, umashtif es elonis, and to wash away the trees, which would mean that it's a negative term. So the Gemara is saying, how do you know? And then Rashi says that even though the pasuk we mentioned before, v'nosati mitar artzachem be'itoy yoyre u'malkoish, seems to be a positive thing, that if you do the mitzvahs v'oyim shomei atishmuel mitzvoysai, you'll get those things. If yoyre is a negative thing, how are we going to read those psukim? So Rashi says that you have to read the psukim, that v'hoyim shomei atishmuel mitzvoysai, etc. If you do things right, things will be good. V'im lav, and if you don't, then v'nosati mitar artzachem yoyre, then I will make sure that the rain that comes down is going to be Yoyre, which is going to be very bad for you. That's not the final conclusion, but according to this stage in the Gemara, that's how we would have to read that pasuk. So the Gemara says, how do we know that Yoyre actually is a brocha, is a good way, a pleasant way of the rain coming down, the first rain? Talmud Leimer. This is learned from the pasuk, because the very pasuk we just mentioned, V'nosati mitar artzachem be'itoy, Yoyre, Umalkish. The pasuk puts the word Malkish, which we know as being the last rain, the rain at the end of the rain season, together with Yoyre. So Ma Malkish, in the same way as Malkish, Lebrocha, must mean a positive thing, because by the time the Malkish comes along, there are no more fruits left in the fields. It's talking about in the month of Nisan. There, the produce is not in the fields anymore. So there it must be talking about a positive rain, not one of a curse, not a negative one. So the same way as the Malkish must be Lebracha, so too, Af Yoyre Lebracha, the Yoyre is also referring to the positive first rain. Says the Gemara, Oy Einoy Malkish, maybe the word Malkish, it's true that the negativity of the Yoyre, which would have been that it washes away the produce, that wouldn't apply to Malkish. But Malkish could be Eloshem Mapeles Abatim, that it's a very strong type of wind that knocks down the homes, or Meshaber Esailonis, and actually breaks the trees. Umaylo Esasakoin, and raises the locusts, and causes the locusts to come. So maybe Malkish would be negative. Talmud Loimar, that's what it says in the Pasuk, Yoyre, that Yoyre, Ma Yoyre Lebracha, in the same way as Yoyre is Bracha, Af Malkish Lebracha, so too Malkish is Bracha. But now the Gemara is saying, but you just a moment ago said that Yoyre is Bracha because Malkish is Bracha. Now you're suggesting Malkish is not Bracha, so how do you know Yoyre is Bracha? But Yoyre Gufay Minolon, how do you know that Yoyre is positive? So it's from a different source. Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Uvnei Tzion, the sons of Tzion, Klal Yisrael, Gilu, they were glad, v'simchu, and they rejoiced, b'Hashem Elokeichem, with Hashem, kinosan lochem es ha-moire, litzdoka, because he gave you the moire. So you see, moire is the rain, called yoire, litzdoka. Stoka is a positive thing, it's a charity, it's a kindness. V'yoired lochem geshem, moire u'malkoish, borishoin. This is the pasuk we already mentioned earlier, that particular case, in the time of Yoel, the Yoyre, as well as the Malkush, the first and last rain, fell in the month of Nisan. But either way, in that pasuk, you see that Yoyre was a positive thing. It was marked the end of the drought, the end of the hunger there, and the rain came down. And it says, Nosan lochem es ha-moyre litzdoka. So you see that Yoyre is a positive thing, and if Yoyre is positive, so too the Malkush is positive. Continues the Gemara Tonu Rabbonon. We already learned on Daf Hei that Yoyre, the month, the time that the first rain typically falls is B'mar Cheshvan, in the month of Cheshvan, U'malkish, the last rain, B'Nisan, is in the month of Nisan. Asks the Gemara, Ato Imer Yoyre B'mar Cheshvan, U'malkish B'Nisan, why are you assuming that? Oy Einoy Elo, maybe it would be that Yoyre is in Tishri. That not that the first rains come down in Cheshvan, maybe the month before that, the month of Tishri. Maybe that's where when the Yoyre typically comes. And Malkish, and the final rain, not in Nisan, maybe it's a month after that. Be'iyar, maybe it's in Iyar. Talmud Loimar says the Gemara, no. That since the Pasuk says, the Pasuk we started with in Shema, V'nosati mitar artzechem be'itoi, I will give it to you in a timely way, in a way where it's the most beneficial. And the time where the Yoyre is most beneficial is in the time when the crops start growing. And that is in Cheshvan. And the time that the Malkish is the most beneficial is in the month of Nisan. As we're going to see soon, that in the month of Nisan, you've got the melilois and the kashin, which is the ears of the crops and the stalks. And it's necessary at that point for the rain, for the malkish, to come down on it. And therefore, and only in the month of Nisan, these ears and stalks are still in the fields. By the month of Iyar, they're not there anymore. So we know that the Yoyre and the Malkish, which comes down Be'itoy at the time when they're most needed, is in Cheshvan and in Nisan. Now the Gemara is discussing Malkish. We just discussed before, at the beginning of the Gemara, that Yoyre, the three explanations, what Yoyre means. Malkish. What is the word Malkish? Omar of Nihiloi Bar Idi, Omar Shmuel, Dovor Shem Mal Kashyoseim. Malkish is a time where the last rain falls. And the word Malkish is made up of two words, Mol and Kashyu, which is a hardness. Mol is it takes away, it removes the hardness, Shel Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael. Because if the rain doesn't come by that time, then it causes Klal Yisrael to do tshuva and to fast and to come back to Hashem. So that's the date, the time called Malkish, which is the last time that the rain falls. Debei Rebbe Shmuel Tana, Dova, that the reason Malkish is called Malkish is from the words Shememale Tvua b'kasher, that it causes the stalks, the kash, the stalks to be full of grains. And memale, the mal is the milui, is the filling, and the koish is the kasher of the stalks, it fills the stalks, and that's what this rain does. B'masnitaton, in a braisa we learned, dovo sheyered, that this is a rain that descends al hamalilois, on the ears of grains, v'al akashin, and on the stalks. And that's why it's the word melilois, which is the ears, and the kashin, the stalks, make up the words malkish. So that's the three explanations of what the word malkish means. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Yoyre b'mar Cheshvan, we saw that the time for the first rain is in Cheshvan. Umalkish, and the time of the final rain is in Nisan, b'Nisan. Ato imer yoyre b'mar Cheshvan, o ye'ine ele b'chodesh Kislev. Maybe the first rain doesn't come in Cheshvan, but it comes a month after that, in the month of Kislev. Talmud Leima, the Gemara says, like before, Be'itoi, that Yoyre means it's going to come down in the time when it's most beneficial. Be'itoi, Yoyre or Malkish. Ma Malkish, in the same way as Malkish, Be'itoi, that the Malkish comes down in the month of Nisan, which is the time where it's the most opportune time, because Malkish, as we said before, is that from the Tanoim, that it's Yoyred on the Melilois and the Kashin, on the ears and the stalks, and in the month of Nisan, the ears and stalks are still there, but and no other month, not later, and therefore so too Yoyre, when it comes to the first rain, then Be'itoi, it's in the right time, and the right time, the time when the first rains are the most beneficial, is in the month of Cheshvan, not in the month of Kislev. The Braisa continues, Kivan Shiyotza Nisan, by the end of Nisan, V'yorudu Goshomim, and the rains still continue falling, Eini Simen Brocha, it's no longer Simen Brocha, because it's no longer necessary. Continues the Gemara, Tani Idoch, we learnt in a different Braisa, Yoyre b'mar Cheshvan u'malkish b'nisan divi Reb Meir, as we saw before, this is the opinion of Reb Meir, that Yoyre in Cheshvan and Malkish in Nisan. The Chachomim argue, and indeed they say that Yoyre is not in Cheshvan, it's a month after that, it's in Kislev, Bekislev. Man Chachomim, who are these Chachomim? Omer of Chizda, Reb Yosihi. That it must be Reb Yosi. Reb Yosi is the one that says that Yoyre is in Kislev. Tanya, we learnt in a Braisa, Ezuhi Reviyor Rishoino. And now we're going to have three Tanoim as to the three different reigns. And all these three rains are called Yoyre. So you've got the Revia, which is the first rain. Why exactly the rain is called Revia, we're going to see later in the Gemara. It penetrates into the land, it causes the land to be fruitful. But the Revia Rishoina, Habachira, the first one, is B'shloisha B'mar Cheshvan. We're going to have three opinions, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yosi. Reb Meir says the first rain is on the third of Cheshvan. Beinoinis, the intermediate rain, is B'shiva Boy, is on the seventh of Cheshvan. Afela, the last rain, is B'shiva Osor, is on the 17th of Cheshvan, which means all three rains are in Cheshvan. Divi Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda Omer, Reb Yehuda agrees that all three rains are in Cheshvan, but he pushes it all by a few days. He says that B'shiva, the first rain, is not on the 3rd, it's the 7th. And the second rain is not on the 7th of B'yud Zayin, it's on the 17th. And the third rain is B'esrim, Meshloisha, is on the 23rd. Still in the month of Cheshvan. Rabbi Yossi says, he pushes it even more. He says the first rain is B'yud Zayin on the 17th of Cheshvan, and the second rain is Ube'esim Meshloisha on the 23rd of Cheshvan, Uberosh Chodesh Kislev, and the third rain is on the 1st of Kislev. So you see that the only opinion in this Braisa that says that there's rains in Kislev is Rabbi Yossi. So when we saw before that there's an opinion that says that the Chachomim say that Yoyre, that is one of the rains, falls B'Kislev, in the month of Kislev, then this is talking about the third point of Yoyre. This is not talking about the Yoyre and Malkish we saw before, which is the beginning of the rain season and the end of the rain season. This is the three rains that make up the Yoyre, the first season of rain. And this is the third point is Aleph Kislev. So when the Chachomim said before that Yoyre is in Kislev, it must be that it's Rabbi Yosi. Omer Rav Chisda, Halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. Rav Chisda said that Halacha was Rabbi Yosi, and others say that he meant to say that Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yosi, because it seems to be that Rav Chisda and what we're about to see is the same opinion. Amemer Masni Lahad Rav Chisda. Amemer said this same quote of Rav Chisda Bahai Lishna in a different quote that we're going to see in the Mishnah on Daf Yud. That b'shloisha b'marcheshvan shoyalim es hageshomim. When do you start saying the same talumata? When the first rain is supposed to start falling. And the Tanakama say, it's on the third of Cheshvan. And that conforms with what Rav Meir said, that the first Yoyre rain is on the third of Cheshvan. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Rabban Gamliel says, like Reb Yehuda, that b'shiva boy, that the first of the Yoyre is on the seventh of Cheshvan. So Rabban Gamliel says that you start saying the same talumot are on the seventh of Cheshvan. Omer of Chisda, and this is where Rav Chisda said, halachok Rabban Gamliel. So assuming that the two Rav Chisdas, or the two quotes in the name of Rav Chisda are the same halacha, just one is quoting a Tana in the Braisa regarding the three Yoyres, and one is talking about the time of starting with saying Talumot. Assuming it's the same, then in the first Rav Chisda, we would have to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yossi, because according to Rabbi Yossi, he says the first Yoyre is on the 17th of Cheshvan, which means that according to him, one would start saying with saying Talumot on the 17th of Cheshvan, not like Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah, that Rav Chisda holds like him, that says the 7th of Cheshvan. Continues the Gemara, Kaman Oz Lahad Tanya. Who is the following Tana following? Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Geshomim sheyordu shiva yomim ze'ach hazeh. If you have rain that falls for 7 consecutive days, that means it's a single downpour, so to speak, that didn't stop for 7 days. Then, and so the Braisa seems to say that this, the 7 days, covers the dates of 2 of the 3 Yoyres. Like we said before, that we have 3 Yoyres. We had the Machlekes, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yossi, exactly when they are. But there's 3 points of Yoyre. So the Braisa, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, if you have 7 consecutive days, it covers it. Whenever you have 7 days, it will cover 2 of those points. If it covers 2 of those points, then ata moine, you can count this rain, moine bohen revia rishoina ushnia, you can count it as being the first and second yoira, or the shnia ushlishis, the second and third yoira. Because between the first and second yoira, there's 7 days, and between the second and third yoira, there's 7 days. That's what it says in the Braisa of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And the Gemara is asking, which of the 3 above mentioned opinions can this be following? Says the Gemara, Kaman ka Rabbi Yossi, it must be following Rabbi Yossi. Because it's only Rabbi Yossi that has 7 days between Yoyre 1 and Yoyre 2, and 7 days between Yoyre 2 and Yoyre 3. According to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, it's not that way. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi says it's 17 of Cheshvan, 23rd of Cheshvan, and the 1st of Kislev. The 7 days between the 17th and the 23rd, and 7 days between the 23rd and the 1st. So that's Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Meir, that wouldn't be true. Contra Meir says the first one is Gimel, the second one is Zion. That's 4 days, not 7 days. And between Zion and Yud Zion, you've got 10 days, not 7 days. Contra Yehuda, who says it's Zion, Yud Zion, and Chav Gimel, then between Zion and Yud Zion, you have 10 days. Between Yud Zion and Chav Gimel, you have 7. It's only Contra Yehuda that you have Yud Zion and Chav Gimel is 7, Chav Gimel and Aleph is 7, so it must be it's following Rabbi Yehuda. Omer of Chisda, and here of Chisda says, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Indeed, over here, he says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Continues the Gemara. Bishleima, so we've just seen in the Gemara, there's 3 Yoyres. It means the first rain comes in 3 shifts. The question is, why is it necessary to tell us exactly the dates of the 3 shifts? And even 3 Tanoim are arguing. What's the difference? So Bishleima Revia Rishoina, the first rain, I understand. I need to know when that is. Lishoil, because that's the date that you start saying with saying Talumotor. According to Rabbi Meir, you start saying with saying Talumotor on Gimel Cheshvan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's on Zayin Cheshvan. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's on Yud Zayin Cheshvan. Shlishis, I can understand the date of the third Yoyre Lisanois, because if the rain hasn't come down by the date of the third Yoyre, then we know that this is a problem. This is a decree that Hashem has enacted against Klal Yisrael because they're not acting properly, and therefore we have to do tshuva and start fasting. So you need to know when the last point of Yoyre should have come down. But however, Shnia, the middle, the intermediate Yoyre, Lemai, what difference does it make? Who cares what date that is? What relevance does it have? And the Gemara is going to give 4 halachic ramifications for knowing when the second Yoyre is. Omer Reb Zeira, the first Reb Zeira says, Lenadorim. it makes there's halachic ramification regarding nedarim if somebody makes a vow. Ditnan, because we learned in a Mishnah in Maseches Nedarim, it's a Mishnah in Maseches Shvi'as actually, hanoider ad hagashomim. If somebody makes a vow that he's not going to have benefit until the rains, or misha yorodul gashomim, from the rains, what rain is he referring to? So the Mishnah says, Achateir Dravir Shnia. It's that what he meant is, we know that when it comes to Nadorim, to vows, we always follow the way people talk. When a person speaks about the rains, then they typically mean the second rain, the second Yoira. So the first explanation is just because people call the second rain Geshomim, because it's only from the second rain where it really becomes muddy and rainy, and the first rain is just like a start. But once you've had two rains, that's when things are getting really rainy and wintry. So that's why people assume the second rain when they talk about the rain. Or Rashi says the word geshomim is in plural, the rains, which means that two lots of rain have come down, which is the second yoyre. That was the first ramification of the date of the second yoyre. Reb Zvid Omar, Reb Zvid said a different explanation, and that is lezesim. This is regarding the matnois aniyim. We know that there are certain matnois you have to give the aniyim. We're about to see what they are. And the time of, and for the olives, the point in time where you no longer have to leave it for the poor people. You can, that's it. The poor people have had their chance. From that point on, they've given up on receiving the matnois kahuna. And even the rich people can take those gifts that would have gone to the poor people, is from the second revia, from the second rain. Ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Me'ein Osai Kol Odom Mutorin, from what point are all people, not only poor people, allowed to take the leket, which is the forgotten stalks, or the shikha, the forgotten stalks and sheaves, or bepeah, and the edge of the field that you leave unharvested for the poor people? From what point do we assume that the poor people have given up ever getting anything that's left there? Misha Yilchu and Amusha is from the time that the rummagers, those people who are coming and are very, very slowly and methodically and thoroughly going through the fields. Once they've been through it, all the other poor people, they've given up and said there's surely nothing left. And therefore, from that point, anybody else can take anything that would be left over. That's regarding Leket Shikha and Peah. What's regarding the peret and the oilelois? The peret are the grapes that fall during the harvest. The oilelois are those deformed clusters of grapes. Either way, the peret and the oilelois, they are mishayilchu aniyim bekerem vayovoyu. Once the poor people have come, and then they've come again, they've come twice and gone through the vineyard to check for the peret and the oilelois, then after that, everybody else gives up finding anything, and anyone can come and take it. Bezesim, and regarding the olives, and there's proofs, there's Gemaros in other places in Shas, that these halachas apply even to the fruits, not only to produce. And bezesim, these olives, mishatered revia shnia, that until the second rain, from the point of second rain, we can assume that the poor people have already done their searches and taken what needs to be taken, and the rest is now hefka for anybody. Asks the Gemara, my nemushais. When we said before that the leket shikha and peah, from when the nemushais have come, then all the other poor people have given up. Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Sabi is talking about the elder people's the ozli atigra, that they are coming, they're walking with their canes, they're bent over, and they can see very methodically, they can see the ground very well, because they're stooped over, and they don't miss anything. And once these old people on their sticks have been through the fields, all the other poor people say, that's it, there's probably nothing left, and they give up, and from that point, anybody can take what's left. Rish Lakish Omar, Rish Lakish says that the nemushais are lekute bosa lekute. It's when a poor person comes together with his son and says, I'm going to check, and then you follow behind me just to make sure I haven't missed anything. When they've gone through the fields, at that point, there's little hope of finding anything else, and from that point, anybody can take whatever's left over. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa says a third explanation why we have to know when the second Yoyra is, Kedei lehalich b'shvilei harushus. And this is when Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Baba Kama says that he made 10 takonos, and one of them was that a person was allowed to go through and make a shortcut through a private field. However, that's only all the while that there's nothing growing in the field. So when the second Yoira starts falling, then from that point on, the crops are already growing, and from that point, one's not allowed to go through the private fields. People are allowed to go through those paths that were permitted until the second rain. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar, the fourth reason or the fourth ramification of the date of the second Yoira, Levair Peres Shvius. We know there's a halacha that with the fruits of Shvius, you're only allowed to keep them in your home all the while that the wild animals outside have them in the fields. As soon as the animals in the fields don't anymore have them, you have to remove them from the home, and there's a discussion in the Mefarshim what exactly you're allowed to or supposed to do with it, but you cannot keep it in your home as you have till now. Ditnan, we learnt in a mission in Maseches Shvius, ad mosai nenin, from what until what time is one allowed to have benefit v'soyrfin and to burn as firewood b'teven or b'kash, the stubble and the straw shel Shvius of Shvius ad sheteired revi oshnia, until the second rain in the eighth year. That means the stubble and the straw that grew in the seventh year, until the second rain in the eighth year, you're allowed to use the stubble and the straw of the seventh year for whatever you want. My tama, what would be the reason for this? It says in the pasuk, v'livhemtecha, for the domesticated animals, v'lachaya, and for the beasts, asher baratzecha, which are in your land, only because it says in the possible, so the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, only all the while that the wild animals, the beasts in the fields, have what to eat from that specific item, then and that's as long as you're allowed to have it in your home. You can feed your own domesticated animals with it, you can do what you want with it, within the constraints of the halachas of Kedushas Shvius. Kol olachayo min asodeh. However, if there's no longer available for the chayos in the fields, kalei, then you have to remove it lebehem tochom min abayis, and you cannot keep it and store it for the animals in your home. And from the second Yoire, from that point, there's no more kash and tevin from the previous years, no longer in the fields, because they just become dung, they just become decomposed. And therefore, from that point, there's no more kash and tevin in the fields. So the chayos, and therefore you have to remove the kash and tevin from the Shemitah year and remove it from your home. Continues the Gemara, Omer Bavo. Rabbo asks, "My loshen revio." We saw before that revio is a downpour, is a rain. What does the word revio actually mean? Says the Gemara, "Dovo sheroiva es akarka," is something that penetrates the earth, the ground, something that makes it become fruitful. As Rav Yehuda says, "Mitra," the rain is ba'alo, is so to speak compared to a husband, da'ara, of the ground. As it says in the pasuk, this is the pasuk in Yeshaya, ki kasher yered hageshem hasheleg min hashamayim, as the rain and the snow falls from the sky, from the heaven, v'shomo lo yoshuv, and they will not return to there, ki im hirvo es ha'oretz, rather it will saturate the land, v'hoi lido, and it will make it bare, v'etzmicha, and it will grow. It will make produce. V'nosan zera lazareya v'lechem lo'ichil. So we see from there that what the rain does to the ground is v'hoylido. It makes it multiply. It makes it bear, similar to human beings. That as the loshen is, the husband and the wife, that between them they bear children. So that's why the rain that makes the earth do that is called revia. V'omer bavo. Another statement from Bravo, Revia Rishoina, the first rain, Kedei Shetereid Bekarka Tefach, is providing that the rain that has fallen down has penetrated the earth, the soil, a Tefach. Otherwise, it's not considered as the first of the three rains. It might just be considered a drizzle, but it's not considered a rain. Shnia, for the second rain to be considered as the second rain, kedei loguf bo piachovis, that it's got, the earth has to be soft enough that you could use it to create a lid, a cover, for the opening of a barrel without needing to add any more water. Omer of Chizda, geshomim sheyordu, rains that fell to the point that the earth is soft enough that you could make it into a cover for the opening of a barrel without needing to add water, because we know from the Shema, it says, if we don't keep the Torah and mitzvahs, Hashem will get annoyed, and He will stop, He will limit the rains from coming down, and there won't be any rain, etc. The question is, at what point is there a manifestation of Otsar, that Hashem has stopped the skies? So Rav Chisda said that if there's enough rain that the earth is able to be turned into a cover for an open barrel, then there's no longer a manifestation of Otsar, it's no longer a restraint, and the rain has fallen. V'omer Rav Chisda, another statement from Rav Chisda, Geshomim sheyordu koidem v'otzar. Again, we learn it out from v'otzar, that Hashem has restrained the skies from giving rain. But so what we learn from here is that there's a time of Kriyas Shema, which is when we say v'otzar. So if the rains came before v'otzar, then ein b'mishum v'otzar, then they are not a manifestation of a restraint as a punishment that Hashem is not giving us the rain. If, however, the rain comes down after the point of Otsar, which means after the time of the Shema, then those rains are not beneficial, and even though the rains have fallen, it's considered that Hashem has restrained the skies from giving us the beneficial rain. The question is, we say Shema in the morning and in the evening. So does the rain to be beneficial have to fall in the day before saying the evening Shema? Or can it fall at night before saying the morning Shema? So says the Gemara, Omar Abaye loy Omron, what Rav Chisda said is only Elo Koidem v'otzar d'urta. If it comes before the evening Shema, which means the rain that falls during the day, that's a beneficial rain. Aval Koidem v'otzar d'tzafra. But if the rain falls at night, which is before the time of Shema, of the day, of the morning, yesh ben mifshum v'otzar, even though the rain has fallen, it's still considered that Hashem has restrained the rain from being beneficial. The Omer of Yehudah Bar Yitzchok, Hani anoni de tzafra, these clouds that are in the early morning before dawn, lesbu mashosha, they have no substance, there's no benefit in them. Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, in Hosea, mo ese locho Ephraim, what will I do to you, Ephraim? Uma'ese lecha Yehuda, what will I do to you, Yehuda? V'chazdechem, and when the kindnesses you're doing are not beneficial, they are ka'anan boike, they're just the clouds, the pre-dawn clouds. Uchatal mashkim haylech, and they are useless, then they have no benefit. So you see that the anan boike, the pre-dawn clouds, have no benefit. Omale Rav Papa Abaya, Rav Papa asked Abaya, v'ha'omri inchid, the people not say, that be miftach bovi, that the times when at the very early morning when the gates get opened, mitra, that's the time for rain. Then not what that's the time. If the rain comes down early morning, then bar chamra, the donkey drivers, much sakoch, you can pack up your sack, vigoni, and go to sleep, because these donkey drivers are going around trying to make a living selling the produce. But if the rain is going to come b'miftach bovi, when the gates open, which is very early in the morning, there's going to be such an abundance of produce that the produce isn't going to be very cheap, you're not going to make any money, you might as well pack your bags and go to sleep. So you see that the pre-dawn, the very early morning rain, is beneficial. Says the Gemara, Loikashia, Hani ha de kotir be'iva. When do we say that the very early morning rains are beneficial? That's only when the clouds, when the sky is overcast with eva, with very thick clouds, then even the early morning or the rain in the night is beneficial. However, hard the kotir ba'anoni, but those that are just the thin clouds, and if they're very early in the morning, which means in the night, then they are not beneficial. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda, Tova l'shato, it's very good for a year, it's good, beneficial for the produce of the year. De Teves, if the month of Teves, Armalta, is like a widow. We said before that the rain is like a husband, so when there's no rain in the month of Teves, that means it's a good year. Ika de Omra, some explain, de loy bayri tarbitzi, that the places where tarbitzi, where there's a whether the Torah is decimated from where Torah is being given, is being taught, those places will not be emptied, because in Teves, if there's no rain, then the ground, the streets are not all muddy, and the Talmidim, they can come to learn Torah in the different places and travel to the places of Torah, and therefore it's good. Ve'ikadomra, and others say, deloy shokil shudvono, that the crops do not get, the fierce winds do not affect the crops. That's if the month of Teves is not a rainy month. Asks the Gemara, Eini, there seems to be a contradiction to this. You just said that it's good if the month of Teves has no rain. V'omer Rav Chisda. Did Rav Chisda not say, Tova l'shata de Teves menavalta? Did you not say that it's beneficial if the month of Teves causes the land to become all muddy, which means there should be rain? Says the Gemara, Leikasha. When do we say it's good that there's no rain? That's only if in Cheshvan enough rain came down. Then it's better that in Teves there should be no rain. Because if there's too much rain, it can ruin the crops. However, if there wasn't enough rain in the month of Cheshvan, then it's beneficial for the rain to fall in the month of Teves. Continues the Gemara of Omer of Chizda, Geshomim sheyorudu al miktsas medina. What happens if only part of a medina province has rain? Val miktsas medina lo yirdu, and the other part of the province didn't get any rain. Is that considered a va'otzar, a punishment that Hashem has restrained the rain? Or do we say no? Since part of the province has rain, they'll have crops, and they'll sell their crops to the other part of the province, and therefore nobody's going to be punished. It's not a manifestation of va'otzar. So Rav Chisda said, in Ben Mishum Va'otzar, that if half of a province has rain, then it's the entire province is not considered as being under the punishment of Va'otzar. Asks the Gemara Eini. There seems to be a contradiction to this. Va'oksiv, it says in a pasuk in Amos, V'gam anoichi monati mikemes hageshem, that I have withheld from you. I've withheld from you the rain. Bo'id shloisho chadoshim lekotzir, when we're still 3 months before the reaping time. V'imtarti al ir echas, and I will pour down the rain on one city. V'al ir echas lo yamtir, and on a second city I won't. Chelko achas timotir, that on one portion will get the rain. V'chelko asher lo yitamtir oleo tivosh. So you see that there's a type of a curse which includes one city getting rain and one city not getting rain. So how could Rav Chisda say that if part of a province gets rain, it's not considered v'otzar, it's not considered a curse for the entire province? This pasuk is to, which means that there's only going to be rain in one city or in one portion of the city, whatever it's talking about, both of them are referring to a curse. And this is contrary to what Rav Chisda said, that it's not a curse if only half a province gets the rain. Says the Gemara, Loikasha, is not a question. When is it a curse? That's if too much rain comes down in half the province, and then the crops there are going to get ruined, and then it's a curse. Harder also could be boiling. But if the rain comes down in a way that's beneficial and is proper for the healthy growth of the crops, then it's not a curse. Omer Vashi Dai Kanami, it's alluded to in the pasuk as well. It says in the pasuk that the word timotir, what does that mean? That one section will be timotir, it will become a rainy place. It's as if it's a definition of the place. It doesn't say that just rain will fall there. No, it will become a place of rain. Tehei mokei motor, becoming a place of rain, that means that it's really overdone. It's really too much rain, and the crops are going to get ruined. Shma mino. So this is proof to the answer that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said, that when it's a curse is when there's too much rain. But when there's the right amount of rain, then if it falls in just half the province, it's not a curse for the other half either. Continues the Gemara, Omer Bavo. We know from a Gemara in Brachas that when the rain comes down, you say a bracha. The question is, from what point is there enough rain that you say the bracha? Says the Gemara, Mishayotza choson likras kala. It's when the rain, it looks like the choson is coming towards the kala. The groom is coming towards the bride. And we'll soon see what that means. Actually, Rashi explains that what that means is either that there are puddles in the floor, and when the rain drops, then bounces out of the puddle, some drops come out towards it, so to speak. When there's that much rain, then it's called Kachosin Nikras Kala. And another explanation Rashi brings is when there's so much rain that the streets, the roads are flowing, and you've got one road coming in one direction flowing rain, and another road coming in the other direction flowing with rain, and they meet each other, that's Kachosin Nikras Kala, that is an ample amount of rain which is worthy of a bracha. Mai Mavorich, and what's the formula of the bracha? Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, as follows, Moedim anachnu lecha Hashem Elokeinu, we are very thankful to you Hashem, al kol tipo v'tipo sherad talonu, for every drop of rain that you've given us. Rabbi Yochanan Masayim Bahachi, Rabbi Yochanan says, that at the end of the bracha you say, ilu finu mole shira kayom, if our mouths would be full of song like the sea. Ul sheneinu rimra kahamayin galov, and our tongues would be joyous like a multitude of waves, etc. And to continue that whole nusach that we know, ad until he says al yazvunu rachamecha, that your mercy should not forsake us, Hashem Elokeinu v'lo yazavunu, we've not been forsaken. Boruch, and the end of the bracha is Boruch Roiv Hahidois, that we thank Hashem that most of that Hashem is the reason for most of our thanksgiving. Says the Gemara, Roiv Hahidois, is Hashem only responsible for most of the reason you have to say thank you, v'loi kol Hahidois, and not for all the thanksgiving? Omer Rava, Rava says, Eimer, what you should say is, Kael Hahidois, the God who's responsible for all thanksgiving. Omer Rav Papa says, Hilkoch, therefore, you should incorporate both, but the term Roiv, we're going to twist it a little bit. Nimrinu Latarvayu, say both, say Kael Hahidois, that Hashem, you are the God, which is because of you that we're able to thank. V'roiv ha'idois means our many thanksgiving. Roiv doesn't mean most, as we said before, most in contrast to all. No, it's the multiplicity. It's the many reasons for thank you. That is what that you Hashem are responsible for all that. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.